This helpful instructional message from the National Association of People Who Have Trouble Walking and Chewing Gum at the Same Time. Step, chew, step, chew, step, chew, step, chew.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Wow. Somehow those two go together.
Good morning and welcome to The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. And I hope you're having a great day so far. Wow, fundamentally transforming the United States of America. I have a question for you. If you love something, do you transform it? If it's in disrepair, you restore it. You don't transform it. But if you think something is fundamentally flawed, if you think something is built on a bad foundation, if you think that something is wrong, you transform it. Words mean a lot. Words mean a lot. Good morning. It's a chilly day in our neighborhood. And hopefully that you are you're staying warm today. Hopefully you have great plans for this day. And I'm very glad that part of those plans for the day were to be here to listen to this pokey little podcast as part of your daily routine. Thank you very much. It means more to me than you know. By the way, in case you haven't heard, Time Magazine has chosen their cover. They've chosen Washington Post writer Khashoggi and other journalists as the 2018 Person of the Year. It's actually a plural when you think about it. They're spotlighting a handful of journalists who have one thing in common. They were targeted for their work. At least this is their perspective. Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington Post columnist and U.S. resident, wrote columns critical of Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and was brutally killed inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey in October. John McNamara, Rebecca Smith, Rob Hyacin, Gerald Fishman, and Wendy Winters, four journalists and a sales associate, gunned down in a mass shooting at Maryland's Capital Gazette in July. Reuters journalists Hua Lon and Kao So U, who were sentenced to 7 years in prison in September for breaking a colonial-era state secrets law while reporting on the military's mass killing of Rohingya Muslims. And Maria Ressa, the CEO and executive editor of Rappler, who reported critically on Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte. So what they've done is they have decided to dedicate the cover of Time. There's two covers, actually. The cover of Time is dedicated to people who work in journalism and were killed for their reporting. And if you're wondering, so what is why? What is this why? I just don't, why? Well, it's because leftists, liberals, progressives can point to this cover and say, you remember all those people? If Trump wasn't president, they wouldn't have died. And that's why they did it. That's why Time Magazine has reporters on the cover. It is indeed tragic that these people have lost their lives. It is indeed wrong that these people have lost their lives. It is horrible that these people have lost their lives doing their jobs. But the left will use this against Trump because they really want you to believe that if it were not for Trump, this atmosphere would not exist where people are being oppressed. People in the press are being oppressed. Why? Because they say that Trump has pointed to the press and called the press the enemy of the people. You see this reported again and again and again without correction. and it needs to be corrected, because it's a lie. Trump has never pointed to the press in general and made the blanket statement that the press is the enemy of the people. Never. He has said fake news, lies, distortions of reality, dishonesty in the press. That's the enemy of the people. That's what he has talked about. That's what he's referred to. He has painstakingly separated the two. He has made it very clear. When you report fake news, you are the enemy of the people. Because the people deserve the truth. The people need the truth. The people need honesty. The people need the facts. Not your twisted, biased translation of the facts. It is not your job in the press to tell us what to think. It is your job in the press to deliver the facts, to tell us the truth. Not the truth as you see it, but the truth. That is the bottom line. And when you don't do that, when you shade it in any way, shape, or form, the truth is no longer the truth. And when the truth is not the truth, what is it? It's a lie. And when you lie to the people, you are the enemy of the people. It's very, very simple. My dog can understand it. So now Time Magazine, the cover of Time Magazine, salutes the press, the martyrs of the press, all because Donald Trump is president. And they believe it's his fault that many of those people are dead. And that's where we are today. And that is a horrible, horrible place for this country to be. The press has never been friendly to the truth. Never has. Just look back at history. The press has always been at odds with reality and the truth. And I know, and everybody who sits behind a microphone, like I do, has at one point or another had a session where you sit down with a reporter who's taking notes, or they're talking to you and there's a camera present or something like that. And the first time it happens, you're excited about it. You phone your family up, say, "Hey, going to be on the news. Hey, grab the evening paper." Because you're looking forward to seeing how it turned out. And then when you actually do see the paper or see the story on the evening news, the half hour that you spent together, or whatever amount of time you've spent together, is reduced to a matter of mere seconds, and it is a complete misrepresentation of what you said. And this is why I tell you every day, turn off the news. Stop watching the evening news. They're not telling you the truth. They're telling you, and when you confront them with it, they will say, "We told the truth. This was true." Yeah, okay. You spent 3.7 seconds on the truth, and you spent 26.3 seconds of that segment telling me what it meant. So no, you're not telling us the truth. You're packaging facts and representing them in a different way. And that's the sad truth about our press today. And you and I need to stop giving them any time. We just do. We need to be wise enough. All of us need to be wise enough to search the truth out, to learn what truth is, and to stand by it. Jesus told his disciples that if they followed him and his example and lived in the words that he taught them, that they would know the truth. There's a pattern there that follows through all of life, not just religion, okay? If you have a problem with Christianity, let's just pull that off the table. If you learn what truth is and you focus on it, you learn to recognize it, then you will know it every time you see it. And you will know what's not true. And if you pursue what's true, that will make you free. And those who don't want you to know what's true and to live in it and follow it will always be trying to condemn you for doing it. That's just a principle of life. It's the way it works. You see, there is a way all the stuff in life works. And over the years, as you get older, you begin to get a grip on these things. And you start recognizing truth for what it is and falsehood for what it is. You start realizing that people embrace falsehood because it makes them feel better about what they've chosen to do or not do with their lives. They're looking for something to soothe their consciousness for their consciences for their bad decisions. And so they embrace the lie. They have a lot invested in the lie that is their life. And so whenever somebody lies and reinforces their lie, they embrace it. But if you embrace the truth, you begin to see very clearly which is true and which is lie. So it's extremely important that all of us stop fooling ourselves, stop deceiving ourselves, stop lying to ourselves, and start dealing truthfully with every aspect of our lives. And that includes the evening news. Once you turn it off and start seeking the truth and learning what truth is and recognizing it and trying to feed yourself more truth, if you turn the evening news back on again, you'll find yourself talking to the TV. Oh, come on, that's not true. Where did you get that? Oh, please, you expect me to believe that? That's not how the real world works. Why? Because you recognize truth and you recognize lies. So please, today, make a decision to stop believing what the mainstream press is telling you. Because they have a vested interest in actually not in telling you the truth. They have a vested interest in making their advertisers happy. And so they will package everything in ways that they believe will draw the most eyeballs and keep them watching for the longest amount of time. I saw an example of this Sunday morning when my wife and I went to breakfast. I told you about this yesterday. Right above our booth, hanging over my wife's head, was a flat panel television, and CNN was on. The sound wasn't on. I sat there munching my food, listening to Christmas carols, and watching the chyron at the bottom of the screen, that text they put at the bottom of the screen to sort of reinforce what the topic is that they're talking about with whatever guest they're talking to. And it was all impeachment of Trump. Basically, happy days are here again. Trump's going to get impeached. Indictments are coming. Laws have been broken. Evil doing has been done. I mean, it was just ridiculous. It was just crazy. I kept shaking my head. I couldn't carry on a conversation. It was driving me nuts. I almost, two or three times, almost asked our server, hey, could you change that channel? Because I'm really angry about the lies these people are telling. Because they were telling lies just with the text on the bottom of the screen. They were painting a picture that they really want to see become real. Their bias was so obvious. They've been trying to find a way to undermine Trump since he got the nomination and became the candidate for the Republican Party. Up until then, up until he decided to run for president, he was one of them. Great guy. Love him. You know, he's colorful. He's a billionaire. Got all those buildings he's worked on, those hotels all over the place. He's a lot of fun to have on the talk shows. He's a great guy. And then he decided to run as a Republican, and the next thing you know, he was the spawn of Satan. And now, they're all drooling. They're so ready. It's almost like sharks swimming in circles in the water. They smell the blood. And if you just watch what they have to say about it, you believe he's in serious trouble. But the bottom line is, they have yet to prove anything that he has done that is worthy of impeachment. Everything they're talking about has been done by other people. Everything they're talking about has yet to be substantiated. It's all just their hopefulness that they've finally got him so they can get rid of him. They're just trying to make him so radioactive nobody wants to touch him when it's time to re-elect him in 2020. That's all this is about. And it's a sad thing. It's a sad state of affairs for our country. And around the Birmingham, Alabama area, there's another sad state of affairs. It's happening in Hoover. We'll take a look at what's happening with Hoover and the Nation of Islam coming up on The Daily Perspective.
Let's get away from sleigh bells. Let's get away from snow. Let's make or break some Christmas, dear. I know the place to go. How'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island?
Oh, count me in. I'd be right there. Doesn't even have to be an island. I'll take a cruise ship. Wow, a couple of years ago, I actually did get to go on a cruise right around Thanksgiving. Actually, Thanksgiving happened during the cruise. And it was really odd. I just got to say it. It was really, really odd to get off the ship in port in one of these islands off the coast of South America and to see ginormous inflated Santas among the pine trees, the palm trees. It was just strange. Cool, but strange. It was odd. You're listening to The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here. Good to have you along. Thanks to the gang that's joining us on Facebook Live this morning. Your comments are keeping me going. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I mean, let's see, who is it? James, he says, believe it or not, it's day 8 without watching Fox News. But I see clips on Facebook. I myself needed a break. And I'm with you. I tend to turn Fox News on in the mornings while my cobwebs are clearing and I'm drinking some coffee. And one of the things that, don't get me wrong, of all of the options out there, I think it's probably the best available option, but at least as far as the big names go, but it's just irritating to see these little tiny snippets that they're covering these stories and you don't get everything and people are, and I know at the time I'm watching that the people are just, they're not. I'm just going to say it. They're too lazy to dig in themselves and to find out what's really going on. So what happens is they get their concept, their idea of what's happening in the world based on a 2-minute segment on a morning chat show. And it's just wrong. It's just wrong. And then Vincent also writes down here that he's used his phone to change the channel several times while he's sitting in waiting areas and he wants in a restaurant. That's awesome. I want that app. I would have used it Sunday morning. Sitting there in the huddle house with my wife, eating my breakfast, I would have finally said, oh, that's enough. And I would have pulled the app up and I would have found something else. Is there a Three Stooges marathon on anywhere? Come on, give me a break. Anything else would have been better. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. Well, I mentioned the Nation of Islam and Hoover before the break. The Birmingham chapter, by the way, Yellowhammer News, it's a totally Alabama news group. They're growing slowly, and they're kind of spreading all over the place now. They're working on their own little radio. They've got a radio news thing that they do as well, and stations across the state are beginning to pick up their radio news, and they've got a website that's a news site, All Things Alabama. Well, the Birmingham chapter of the Nation of Islam, this is where this is coming from, is what I meant, from Yellowhammer News. The Birmingham chapter of the Nation of Islam, which is deemed an extremist, deeply racist, anti-Semitic hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, the SPLC is not a place you trust for many things, but they're dead right about this. And led nationally, by the way, by the infamous Louis Farrakhan, is heading up the boycott effort in Hoover in the aftermath of emphatic E.J. Bradford Jr.'s death in an officer-involved shooting at the River Chase Galleria on Thanksgiving night. Now, this is something we've talked about on a handful of times. There was a shooting. The shooter fled. The police arrived very quickly afterwards, encountered a man who roughly fit the description, black man with a gun in his hand, and the result of that little encounter was that the guy with the gun in his hand ended up being killed. And that's really all we really know about what happened. But that's enough for the Nation of Islam and others to cause serious problems. In a recent Facebook Live video posted by Iva Williams, a spokesperson and the vice president for the activist organization led by self-proclaimed Hoover protest leader Carlos Chavarst Jr., Williams confirmed that Trayvon Muhammad, the student minister or pastor for the Nation of Islam's Muhammad Mosque number 69 in Birmingham, is leading the boycott. He also detailed that the boycott is specifically meant to harm businesses owned by white people. With the activists planning on finding ways to help black-owned businesses in Hoover until their leases are up, at which time the businesses will be expected to move into majority black areas of Birmingham. You see, these people are stone-cold racists. This tracks with the Nation of Islam's theory of separation between the races, and also substantiates reporting by the Hoover Sun that protest efforts in the city are part of a greater, quote, war, end quote. The publication documented a recent meeting of protest leaders and activists held at the Nation of Islam's Birmingham Mosque recently, where that hate group was joined by at least one more, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, which has been categorized as such by not only the SPLC, but the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights as well. The Sun wrote that speakers at the mosque made it clear this war is about much more than Bradford's death and is about to escalate. Kara McClure, a politician and activist who ran unsuccessfully as the Democratic nominee for Public Service Commissioner Place 1 this election cycle, confirmed that they were bringing in people from out of state to bolster the protest efforts. Quote, "It's time to go to jail. We're going to do some arrestable actions," McClure outlined, going on to say, "It's our time to fight. I'm bringing in folks from all across the country to prepare for battle because we're going to shut down Hoover." Muhammad mentioned that this was all part of a bigger cause, to build up their own people. For his Nation of Islam, this means black superiority over whites, as detailed by the SPLC. This group is so virulently racist that they are founded on the belief that white people as well as Jewish people are devils. The SPLC added the following about this organization. The Nation of Islam has a black nationalist agenda. Their program states that blacks should be able to form their own nation. It also holds that blacks should be made exempt from taxation until they have achieved equal justice under the law, and that interracial marriage and race mixing should be prohibited. Historically, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. deemed the organization as a hate group. Malcolm X, who was the leader of the Nation of Islam, came to denounce it soon before he was assassinated, calling out its sickness and madness. Many have blamed the organization for his assassination, with three of its members being convicted in his killing. The so-called ringleader of the three, who confessed to firing upon Malcolm X, was promoted to become the head of the Nation of Islam's Harlem Mosque after his release from prison. Of course, the longtime leader of the organization, Louis Farrakhan, also known as Calypso Louis, was at the center of this controversy, as he has been when it comes to some of the most heinous speeches and actions by the Nation of Islam over the last half century. As extreme as admitting he believes white people deserve to die, to as bizarre as getting the Nation of Islam involved with the Church of Scientology in this decade, Farrakhan is one of the most radical figures in American politics, and his Birmingham representative seems to follow suit. At that recent meeting, Muhammad explained that his organization is not currently on the front lines of the Hoover protests themselves because the Nation of Islam does not subscribe to the theory of nonviolence. Quote, "If we go out there, we ain't going out there to play. If we go out there and we get engaged in combat, if they touch one of our sisters or hit one of our young people or hit one of our brothers, we're not out there just to fight. Everybody and everything got to die on sight. This is who we're dealing with, people. Birmingham, Hoover, this is who you're dealing with. You're dealing with people who want bloodshed. While Chavez has not publicly denounced these comments, he did take issue with Hoover's son reporting Muhammad's use of the word war to describe the ongoing efforts. However, it's not just Muhammad and company publicly embracing Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam's extremist views. Williams, Chavez's vice president, has shared Farrakhan propaganda as recently as Sunday on Facebook. Williams also said that, quote, in the black community, we all respect them, end quote, referring to the Nation of Islam. And it certainly doesn't help create separation when Chavez has been referred to as being like Malcolm X when he was leader of the Nation of Islam. While Ladarius Hilliard, president of the Jefferson County Millennial Democrats, compares himself to Martin Luther King Jr. Additionally, critics will argue Chavez would not allow the Nation of Islam to run the boycott efforts if they were not on the same page. The boycott is viewed as a central tenet to the protesters' plan of making the city go broke. Using the slogan Hoover Wrong, as opposed to Hoover Strong, to draw attention to the boycott movement, Chavez and the other protest leaders have been very open with their intentions of hurting the city's economy, as well as the small business owners and employees that comprise it. Of that boycott, Williams advised that their intention is for it to continue at least a year. He said, we're going to bring them to their knees. Businesses in and around the River Chase Galleria are hurting. It'll remain to be seen, though, if the boycott effort is hampered in the long run by people discovering that the Nation of Islam is simply using this tragic death to further their radical goals. And that's something you need to remember. The Nation of Islam has moved in, and they're using the tragic death of a young man to further their goals. It's not about him. It's not about his family. It's about their lunacy.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of
the holidays.
Now, I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a
looking forward to Christmas. We're just a couple, actually 2 weeks away today. 2 weeks away from today, it's Christmas. And somebody just, they just had their throat tightened up. What? 2 weeks? Yeah, we're 2 weeks away. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, you got the list done? I mean, you got it finished? You got your shopping done? Well, of course not. You haven't. Don't lie. You're lying to me. I know you are. And it, because that's funny. Is that I'm okay. Quick mental check. Yeah, I pretty much got everything done. I said yesterday I was going to wrap, but my day fell apart yesterday. Like, it's just my plans for the day just kind of dissolved after I got through doing studio work and the like. I ended up getting called out and I had to go across town and do some things. And before long, the whole day is shot. Everything was just shot. So no, I didn't get my Christmas gift wrapping done yesterday, but at least the shopping is all done. Everything is in its little hiding places, and so at least I've got that part done. Now I'm talking to my wife the other night, and she's like, I need to start Christmas shopping. Just like, you don't expect me to go along, do you? I mean, I've done my part to avoid the insanity. That's on you, baby. You just go. You and your sister, you go to Wally and have a great time. Because me, I'll be here by the fire with the puppy wrapping your presents I already bought. That's it, kids. I'm not playing that game. Oh, man. Hey, have you subscribed to the newsletter yet? I mean, if you haven't, it's time. Just go to one of the Facebook pages, the Mark and Mac Show page or the Daily Perspective page, and click the sign up button. Or you can go to markandmacshow.com. Or you can go to markconkleton.com, my website, and there's a place to sign up right there. Before you know it, you'll be getting the show notes and more heading to your inbox every day. It's a way to have a slice of the Daily Perspective delivered right to your email inbox. So get signed up today and become part of the ever-growing family that's getting the Daily Perspective newsletter coming to them. Let's see. Where was I going next? Oh, that's right. This is, I tell you, this is where I was going next. And this will make the little tease I did before the show on social media. This will make more sense now.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Yeah. According to according to this story, there's some seriously bat poop weirdo crazy woman in Northern Ireland who got married. She got married to a 300-year-old pirate ghost named Jack earlier this year. I'm not kidding. This is real. Her name is Amanda Teague. She's 45, mother of 5 kids. Not by the ghost. Come on, people. Previous marriage. She apparently impersonates Jack Sparrow. That's what she does for a living. You know, the pirate from Jack Sparrow, Johnny Depp's character, Pirates of the Caribbean. Anyway, she clearly the act has gone a little farther into her head than it should have. She's claiming that back in 2014, she was visited by the ghost of a Haitian man named Jack. Yeah. A Haitian man named Jack, who was an 18th century pirate who'd been left at the altar and then executed for stealing. I wonder what he was stealing. I mean, what was he stealing? That's what I want to know. Obviously, she fell in love with him. I mean, what's not to love? Come on. Anyway, one thing led to another. Amanda says she and Jack started a sexual relationship. As you do, of course, with ghosts. she said, quote, "Growing up in Ireland, in my era, you were taught that if a man bedded you, he should wed you. I knew from my research that spiritual marriage was a thing, so it was more me that wanted to get married than him. He would have been happy, like most men, with just the extracurricular activities." Well, that's an actual sentence, by the way. Came out of her mouth. And I actually just said it, and I just can't believe it. Anyway, she finally convinced Jack, the pirate ghost, she finally convinced Jack, the pirate ghost. Why is it that this happens? I get texts, I get phone calls, I get weird stuff, and I happen to have the iPad up, the volume on the iPad up when it started ringing. Anyway, she finally convinced Jack, the pirate ghost, to make an honest woman out of her. It's honest, but not necessarily sane. And they wed in a private ceremony on a boat in the international waters off of Ireland, where the marriage would be legal. You know, the fact that there is actually a place on Earth where such a marriage is considered legal is just further evidence that our world has gone insane. It's just, yes, no, you can't get married to a ghost there, but I tell you what, if you'll get in this dinghy and row offshore for 12 miles, we can get you married there. Yikes. Okay, I know you're wondering, who would marry? Who? Please tell me who. What minister in his right mind, or out of his right mind, would marry a woman to a ghost? Well, Amanda hired a shaman priest, medium, so she could hear Jack say, "I do." And instead of putting a ring on Jack's fingers, dead men tell no tales, she held a candle to symbolize Jack, and she put the ring on the candle, obviously, of course, because that's what you do. But sadly, marriage can be tough for some folks, and I suppose when your spouse is not actually a person, a real actual person, that makes it even tougher. So Amanda has recently come forward to make a devastating new announcement, saying, "So I feel it's time to let everyone know that my marriage is over. I'll explain in all due course, but for now all I want to say is be very careful when dabbling in spirituality. It's not something to mess with." But listen, if you have a non-traditional marriage, she wants you to keep your chin up. She says, I hope by me coming out, it'll encourage others not to feel alone or afraid. It's not all like the entities in other horror films. There are loving, caring spirits out there, too. You just need to know what you're doing. I don't think you're the example for knowing what you're doing, quite frankly, ma'am. You can actually check out the photos of her being Jack Sparrow. You look at the show notes today. The link to this particular story is in the show notes, and there are links in the article, and the photos are there. And here's the kicker for me. All right, here's the thing. This is just nuts. There's a gigantic write-up about the legality of Amanda's marriage. Snopes did it. Snopes, actually, the website you verify things at. Snopes actually did a whole investigation into this. While they ultimately decided that Amanda's marriage wasn't, in fact, legal, they did confirm that Amanda is perfectly welcome to consider herself married to a ghost pirate. And this is just one more reason. Snopes is so stinking ridiculous. I mean, please. She married a ghost.
No, oh, no,
a ghost pirate. Oh, my gosh. Where do you go after that? What kind of insanity? I mean, how can I can't top it, but I can't actually, I guess I can step sideways. Let's go to France. French President Emmanuel Macron, his political career in peril, his country engulfed in increasingly violent protest, has pleaded with the country's employers. He did this yesterday. Please give your workers a bonus. And he's also promised a reduction in taxes in a bid to restore order after demonstrations have shaken the nation deeply during the past month. In a pre-taped address broadcast on TV, he criticized the inadmissible violence of the protests and promised to use all means to restore calm. When the violence is unleashed, he says, freedom stops. The French president promised to speed up tax relief and urged companies to give bonuses to struggling workers by the end of the year. Quote, I would ask all employers who can pay an end of the year bonus to their employees, he says. Among his pledges Monday, Macron reiterated his promises to raise the minimum wage and abolish taxes on overtime pay starting January 1st, several months ahead of schedule. He also said a tax hike pensioners faced is going to be scrapped. All those measures offered had been demanded by the yellow-vested protesters, who've led 4 weeks of increasingly violent demonstrations against Macron's presidency, which is seen by demonstrators as favoring the rich. Macron acknowledged anger and indignation among the members of the public over the cost of living, but added no indulgence would be given to the people behind the protest violence. The president said, no anger justifies attacking police or looting stores, saying both actions threaten France's cherished liberty. Apparently, they've been watching TV in France. They realize that the people in the United States, in Baltimore and other places, got away with this. This is what Americans do when they're pissed off. So we can do it here. Yikes. You know, let's just boil this down to what it is. This is what happens when you play footsie with socialism. This is your nation on socialism. And what he's trying to do is he's trying to appease these people who just want more. They're hacked off because he is giving some bennies to the wealthy. Because socialism runs on other people's money, you see. So you have to make the wealthy people happy in a way so that you can get more money out of them. It's just kind of how it works. Until eventually you realize that you're going to have to take everything they own because they won't willingly surrender what they've worked hard to earn. And eventually, beyond that, they stop producing because there's no incentive for them to produce because they can't make any more money and they can't employ any more people and they can't keep their businesses alive with you sucking the life out of it. So they stop. And then your socialist paradise starts falling apart. See Venezuela. But this is what's happening in France, is these people have come to expect the government to cater to their needs, to bow to their desires, and being French, they surrendered to the people, and they're trying to make them happy and do what they want, but it's never going to be enough. These people are in the streets, wearing their yellow vests, they're protesting, they're burning things, they're looting. I saw the video, and you may have too, of them pushing through the windows of an Apple store and going in to rob the Apple store and other places as well. So everything is out of control in France now with these people. The country, I honestly would tell you, if you're planning a trip, you've always wanted to go to Paris. You've always wanted to see France because of its beauty, its art, its food. I think you've missed your chance. Now is not a safe time to go. Because if they perceive that you are in any way, shape, or form wealthy, you may end up being a victim of violence. If you wander into the wrong places that are now Muslim neighborhoods, you may be a victim of violence. France is not a safe place to be. England is getting that way too. And there are places there that the police won't go anymore. So, if you had planned to go, you may want to postpone those plans. You may want to, actually, you may want to cancel those plans. Because it's just not a good idea. And this is your country on socialism. Sadly. So sadly. What a shame. What a shame. Something else that's shameful is what's going on in South Africa. And we'll take a look at that when the Daily Perspective continues.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling too.
By the way, this is Act of Congress.
Snow is falling and friends are calling you.
If you haven't heard their music, it's high time you did. These guys are great. And around the holiday season, they start popping up. You see them, you see them at churches where they're performing. And I saw them a couple of years ago at Church of the Highlands during their Christmas experience. And I've been seeing the ads where they're popping up in different places again this year. And I would recommend, they have a couple of, not albums, but they have a couple of, like, a handful of songs in a collection, a couple of things, and one of them's Christmas stuff. And it's just, I've got it, and it's just great stuff. And I would recommend you grab it, because they're, I just love their style. Come on. Anyway, the holidays are upon us, and we've got Christmas music until Christmas, so just get used to it. I mentioned South Africa before the break. Last week, as the National Assembly in South Africa agreed to set a date for white people, to have their land taken away. This is happening in South Africa, by the way. Proponents of the land grab exulted, with one politician actually gloating, "Your time is up, white people." A motion from African National Congress Chief Whip Jackson Mthembu, to require the legislature to ensure a constitutional amendment to allow land expropriation without compensation was adopted with 183 yay votes and 77 nay votes. The amendment would change Section 25 of the Constitution, which states that a just and equitable payment, which reflects an equitable balance between the public interest and the interest of those affected, must be offered for land. In other words, They changed their constitution to make it legal to steal land from white people. The motion forces a deadline of March 31st, 2019 to complete the work of writing while the legal writing that legal challenge and presenting it. Economic Freedom Fighters MP, yeah, there are a lot of these African names I just can't pronounce, so I'm not going to bother to. This MP argued land grab should occur, declaring your time is up, white people. Another said land must be nationalized and socialized for the benefit of the people, especially the working class and women. Those who oppose want the perpetuation of wrongs of the past. Let's stop and look at that verbiage for a second. Land must be nationalized and socialized for the benefit of the people, especially the working class and women. That has a familiar ring to it, doesn't it? That's because it's socialism / communism. That's what's happening in South Africa right now. Anton Albert from the Freedom Front Plus countered by addressing the ANC benches, saying, when the blood flows, it will be on your hands. Another MP there said, to achieve real and effective land reform, it's possible under the existing constitution, not your populist agenda. You should be ashamed of yourself. In February of this year, the National Assembly ruled that white South African farmers would be removed from their land. The vote, prompted by a motion brought by radical Marxist opposition leader Julius Malema, was not even close. 241 legislators voted for it, only 83 voting against it. Malema told his supporters in 2016 he was not calling for the slaughter of white people, at least for now. News 24 in South Africa reported that Malema saying before the vote was taken, quote, the time for reconciliation is over. Now is the time for justice. Gugile Nkwinti, a minister of water affairs, echoed, saying, the ANC, that's the African National Congress, unequivocally supports the principle of land expropriation without compensation. There is no doubt about it. Land shall be expropriated without compensation. In August, South African President Cyril Ramaphosa announced that the African National Congress would move forward in amending the Constitution to permit the seizure of white farmers' lands without compensation. Later that month, it was reported that a record number of farms were for sale because white farmers tried to offload the land and leave the country before the government confiscated their farms. As the Daily Wire reported back in August, South Africans, both black and white, are not thrilled with the idea, since a major reappropriation and redivision of land would severely harm South Africa's farming industry, destroying jobs and opportunities for both black and white workers. Others with knowledge of history, particularly what happened after the government grabbed land from white farmers in neighboring Zimbabwe, say they're terrified. They're terrified the government has no real plan for this seizure and could send the country tumbling into economic ruin. And that is something we have seen happen again and again when Marxism takes over the leadership of a country. The government takes things from the people that they deem to be enemies of the state. They hand those things, whether they be farms or industries or whatever, they hand them over to party loyalists, even though the party loyalists have no experience, no background, no expertise, and then everyone watches as the farming or industry or whatever slowly nosedives and stops producing and everything falls apart. Because the Marxists don't understand how business makes money. Socialists know nothing about economics in the real world. They don't understand how money works. They don't understand how it's made. They don't understand how it functions. They don't understand what drives it and what it drives. They don't understand. They refuse to understand. They simply scream about inequality and unfairness. And gullible people by what they're screaming and march in the streets and burn things and destroy things until they get what they want. Sounds like France or Baltimore, Maryland. But in South Africa, there's talk, it's not in this article, but there's talk of bloodshed. There's talk of people going in and forcefully taking farms away from people and killing those who own. There's talk of this happening. People want that. But this has happened again and again whenever Marxism, socialism, creeps into a nation. And they start preaching inequality. They start screaming about fairness. We're going to take this away from these people. And we're going to make sure it's fairly distributed and we can pay for everything that we said we're going to pay for, and everybody's going to have everything they need. And yes, that is what Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez both believe. And Elizabeth Warren. And other people who are currently in our government in the United States of America. Those people believe the same thing. They're not stupid enough to say it out loud or in a way that will remind you of what's happening in South Africa or in other failed Marxist countries, but they do believe the same thing. And another thing they have in common with these people in South Africa running the show is a complete and total ignorance of how money works. They don't understand economics in the real world. They don't understand incentive. They don't understand motivation. They don't understand why things work the way they work. They just want what they want, and they'll do whatever they have to do to get it. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.